to you about how to connect in life. I did my best job with my emojis there. But all of us, you probably wore one of those face. Well, if you're a man, you didn't wear that one. But you know what I'm saying. We all wore these faces, and you got different people that you're going to connect with in life. And I want to show you how to connect using John 15 and 16. This lesson is going to show you how to connect, how to produce what God wants you to produce by using God's model. All right? Step number one to connect in life, to connect. You got to decide your destiny. You got to decide your destiny. Well, step one is establishing your identity. And the first part of that is deciding your destiny. You were chosen, and you got to decide to pick what chose you. John 15 and 16, I kind of color-coded the points here. It says, you didn't choose me. I chose you and gave you this work. So the first part is you didn't choose me. You got to decide your destiny. God chose you and has a destiny of success for your life. First thing is, Satan also chose you, and he has a destiny of destruction for your life. You got to make a decision whose voice you're going to follow. Choice number one, are you going to answer the call to destruction? Destruction knocks at your door every day, and some of us keep answering. We all have struggles and proclivities, but let me help you out here. We all take responsibility at the end of the day for our actions, every day. All of us got to take responsibility. But can I tell you something? You didn't choose your struggle. Your struggle chose you. You may open the door to your struggle. Have you ever wondered why some people struggle with some things and you don't? Everybody in your family could have perhaps an alcohol problem, but you have no desire for the taste of it. But you have a different struggle than them. All of us in here got some kind of struggle, and that struggle chose you. Watch this, because it's trying to lead you down a path of destruction. Just like God moves you through your desire to your calling in him, Satan moves you through your struggle to his calling on your life. You got to make a decision whose call are you going to answer. You all right in here? How do I address my struggles? You may be asking. Number one, don't deny you got issues. All of us in here, look at your neighbor and say, you got them. And look on the other side and say, you do too. But what's most important is the person that you're sitting right in the seat with you. Your issue is not going to impact me. My issue is the one I can't deny that I have one. The next thing is this, don't deny it, but don't ignore it. All right, I got an anger issue. But I'm going to just ignore it because I got a destiny from God. And you sitting there like Bruce Banner popping out your shirt. What's wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. You just veins popping out the side of your neck. You're moody. You're mad all the time. I ain't got no issues. You got the issue. You can't ignore the fact that you have issues. And the next thing is this. You don't have to give in to your issues. It may come knocking strong. It may come knocking hard. Some people, if you ever wonder, like, why do I struggle so hard in this area? Why does it seem like some people it just comes easy to them? You ever see that person who just money just, I mean, they just neat and they always budget. They know where every dollar's going. They just always, man, they just never in debt. They never had financial struggles. You're like, man, I hate you. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, how did you get your life so in line like that? And you like trying to get your stuff together. But there's an area of your life that you're the same way that somebody's not. Here's the reality is, all of us want to be different. How many here say you're unique? Don't raise your hand if you're unique in here. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Ain't nobody like you in this world. As unique as you want to be, we all want the same thing. And we all fall for the same thing. Think about this. I don't care if you're white or you're black in here. You want the same thing for your family, regardless of your race. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. You want to be successful in your career. The path you go about it is maybe different, but we all want the same thing. And the truth be told, we all fall for the same thing. If y'all hear about somebody falling, what they stole something, they got in a relationship that wasn't right, something caught, we all fall for the same stuff. Do you know why? Because of pride. Pride says, that'll never be me. Pride to see you go through something, I'm smarter than that. Nah, I got this thing whipped, I got this thing under control. Here's the thing I learned about sin. It costs you more than you want to pay, and it keeps you longer than you ever want to stay. It does. It does. And it eats away at you. And what the trick of the enemy is you compare your condition to somebody else. Well, at least I'm not as bad as them. And as long as you're comparing, you'll never address your issues. Everybody all right in here? Yeah. So you're going to answer the call to destruction, or number two, the call to success. Success knocks at your door every day. It pulls you in a direction that God wants you to be in. Many times, God does not speak to you audibly. He doesn't say, Mike Simpkins, this is the Lord. Like, he may just scare the life out of you if he does sometimes. But how God directs many of us is through our desire. You ever wonder, like, you watch Oprah, and you're like, man, wow, she give away cars. And you're like, man, I want to be a philanthropist. Or you watch a movie, and everybody else is fine. I saw Selma, and I stayed up for the entire movie just on the edge of my seat because I feel I am called to community change. I saw great things in it. There's certain movies, there's certain songs that pull on you that nobody else it pulls on because it ignites a desire inside of you, and that's an indication of the direction God wants to pull you in. Some of you want to build orphanages. Some of you want to do great things. Check your desire because it's a good place that God wants to start you to be certain things in life, and don't deny your desire. Your desire is different than your emotions. Your emotions will change. You'll quit because of emotions. Man, your emotions will be here one day. I'm going to be a millionaire this week. Oh, man, money ain't nothing. God just don't want us to have much at all, so I'm going to just be content with what I have. And the truth be told, you lost your job and get along with somebody, so you compromise your purpose to fit your situation. You all right in here? Can I show you what desire looks like? I want to brag on Barbara for a minute. She said, Jason, I want to get my doctorate on it. And there was a program that came up in Chattanooga. She applied for it, and out of all the people applied, how many of you guys in your program? Now, yeah. Seven. How many you start with? She started with 21. Now there's seven left. Doctoral program. You know anything about school? Like, you just don't show up and just read books. Like it's for real, for real. And I watched Barbara come home. She works a stressful job. I watch her get on the computer. I watch her write papers. I watch her get up at 4 and 5 in the morning. She's doing all this stuff. I watch her every week. She's smiling. Like, I got to get in faith for a smile some days. Like, come on, you going to work in your muscles. Get it. And she's, like, always happy. I'm like, where do you get this stuff from? She always has energy. She's a great wife. She's a great mother. That's what desire looks like. Desire won't let you quit. Desire says I'll sleep later because what I'm going through right now, I'm working towards something. Well, God wants many of us to have because we quit too easy. When the first opportunity, when the first roadblock comes, maybe it ain't what God wanted me to do. No, there's some kind of desire inside of you that said, if God said this is mine, yeah, if there's a door in the way, you better not be on the other side because I'm about to kick that thing in and get to the other side because I want this bad enough to overcome how I feel. Yeah. Same way with reading your word. Like, I don't always feel like reading it. Anybody feel like when you read your Bible that Satan look for Bible readers and make them sleepy? Like, you start out, and the next thing, your head, like, what in the world? Like, you start out praying. One day I was going to lay in my closet before God, because I heard if you lay in your closet and you lay out before God, he'll visit you. I didn't have nothing but a good nap. Woo! I was in there praying and just went on to sleep. I don't always feel it. But when I get into it for real. For me, I learned how to play. I keep my eyes open, and I got to keep me a list of this is what I'm praying, and it gets longer. Like if I close my eyes sometimes, I just go on down another path. I keep them things open, and I just talk to God, and I get in the Bible, and I read the word, and it ends up reading me, and I find out life inside of there. There's some stuff that you ain't going to feel it in the beginning, but after a while, your feelings are going to line up with your decisions. Yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, what do you want bad enough to pass through your feelings to get it? Some of us, we too in our feelings. I ain't feeling it today. I'm asking you what you feel. What do you want?
Yeah.
And when you want it bad enough, you'll push through sickness. Oh, I can't die. I got too much life left in me. Oh, no, my marriage can't end. Uh-uh, we got too much left in this marriage for this thing to fall apart. Not low self-esteem today. Yeah. I can't be depressed today. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I got some rejoicing to do, so I can't sit in the bed and die. Why? Because I got life on the inside of me. All right, so you got to decide your destiny by deciding what call are you going to answer. Then you discover your identity. You discover your identity. You didn't choose me. In red, it says, I chose you. What did God choose? Y'all remember playing kickball growing up? And you hated to be that last kid that got picked? You just left there like, man, just come on. And when you kick, everybody move into the infield. Outfield is everybody. Just go on, kick it. Here's the thing about God. He don't pick losers. They didn't like. Here's the thing about God. He don't pick losers. So if God chose you, he picked a winner, and he wants to see winning manifest in your life. But here's the thing about discovering it. He said, I didn't choose you. I need a point of personal clarity. So I got to see myself as God sees me. That's the ideal me. When God sees you, everybody here, he doesn't see your mistakes. Right. Satan's reminding you what happened last night. Amen. You may still have the smell of last night on you. God don't smell it. Right. Yeah, y'all in a blank right there. He doesn't see you in light of your mistakes. He sees Jesus. That's why Satan hates you. Because he's in heaven right now accusing you to God. You know, ain't no way you're going to answer their prayer. You know what they did last week. And he says, I have no idea what you're talking about. Because when I see them, all I see is Jesus. No. They used to smoke crack. They used to do this. They ran around for years. They ran around last week. And now you've repented. God says, I have no idea what you're talking about. Because if God sees sin, he has to judge it. So he puts Jesus in place of your sin. So he responds to who he says you are and not where you are all the time in life. And that's all cute right there, because that's the ideal me. But on the flip side of that, me and God, we good, but there's a real me. And the real me the all time line up with the ideal me. How many know what I'm talking about? So you got to see yourself as you are seen in situations. This is where you got to have a reality check. This is huge, because most of us are in love with the ideal us, but the real us is hard to deal with, and we got to marry the two. A reality check is when you pick a person who loves you. They ain't trying to hurt your feelings, but somebody who sees your destiny, but they also very well of your destruction. I want to challenge you this week to find somebody to talk to. Don't find that person that's been waiting to tell you off for a while. Don't find that person who their main goal in life is to hurt your confidence and your self-esteem. Oh, I've been waiting on this moment. Don't talk to them. You go that way. Let them stay right there. Find you somebody who loves you, who is invested in your destiny, and ask them this question. I know how God created me. I know how he sees me. But how am I seen in relationships? I'm not trying to be a people pleaser, but make me aware of how I'm seen. You may hear stuff like, you're smart, but you can be very controlling. You're a very nice person, but if you weren't so moody, you may hear things like, anybody ever told you you can be a jerk? You ever hear stuff that you got big dreams, but you're small-minded. You ever think about that? You got big dreams, but you're small-minded, and you're frustrating yourself because your mind's too small to comprehend the enormity of your dream. You're smart, but you can be a little lazy. You shy away from confrontation by saying stuff like, let's just pray about it. Let's just see what the word says. And you should pray, and you should read the word. But when you get finished, you still got something you have to deal with. You have to apply the word and prayer to your situation. Y'all right in here? Then the next thing is this. You got to decide how you will live out your identity. John 15 and 16, let's go again. In blue it says, I gave you this work. You got to decide how you will live out your identity. What is the work God put in your hand? We are in a society that is fascinated with the one. Single people are fascinated when I find that one person. Oh, when I find them. The one, man, when I find the one person. What if the one don't want you? And what if you not they one? When I find that one job, that dream job, everything's going to fall in line. When I find that right house, I think our focus ought to be becoming the one versus looking for the one. I think we ought to be the person we're designed to be, find the work we're designed to do, and let the rest fall in line. Can I challenge you to do something? Look for your dream work versus your dream job. Jobs fold and fade, but work never goes out of style. Because a lot of us got a job, but we don't work. They didn't catch that. A lot of us got a job, but we don't work. People say, man, my job in life is to be an attorney. What if they change the law and there are no more attorneys? Your work is to litigate, because the same thing that drives you to be an attorney is the same thing that can drive you to be the president of the United States, drive you to be the head of a company or what have you. The same thing that calls you to teach in the classroom, you can teach in the community. What is your work? Watch this. If your esteem is tied to a job, if you lose that job, your esteem goes down the tank with it. But when you know what you're called to do, when you know your work, I can lose a job today and find another one tomorrow and still look at myself in the mirror and say, boy, you got it. Man, you still the man. Why? Because I'm not just tied into where I work. I'm tied into what I'm called to do. That just hit me. I'm not tied into where I work. I'm tied into the work that I'm called to do.
Yeah.
And you can work wherever you go.
That's right.
Some of you may not always be in this area, but if God is prospering you in Christiana, he'll prosper you in New York City.
Yes, he will.
He'll prosper you in Memphis. He'll prosper you in Chattanooga. He'll prosper you in Jackson, Tennessee. I don't care where you are, where God has you, he'll prosper you, because the blessing doesn't have locations. And watch this. If you go nowhere just because you are somebody, God will turn nowhere into somewhere just because you're there.
Yeah.
So here's a step two. I got to find my work. And you go to my next slide. I got to determine what God wants for me. John 15:16 says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I gave you this work. In yellow it says, to go and produce fruit that will last. After I figure out who I am and the work I'm called to, I got to figure out what God wants me to produce. I say this in light of the fact that God's plans are bigger than yours.
Yes.
Look at your neighbor and say, you may not know this,
yes,
but God is smarter than you. Look at another neighbor and say, neighbor, I got another new fact for you. God's been doing this longer than you've been alive. So I'd pick his plan over mine. We dream based off known data. God's plan for our life is based off what he knows from the end to the beginning. God sometimes works through people. Man, I remember it's graduation time, and I'm thinking about when I went to school. I went to University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Any Mocs in the building?
Yeah.
Go Mocs. Yeah, go Mocs. Yeah. The other UT, but we made it a big UT. Yeah.
That's right.
And I was going, I'm looking at Wilkie back there. Wilkie signed a basketball scholarship with Motlow. And I was like, man, Wilkie's going to play ball. I didn't want to stop playing ball. I said, man, coach, I was trying to get the coach to let me walk on. Little did I know, my basketball career was over. I was trying to ride it out on fumes. You know how you try to ride stuff out on fumes? You know what I'm talking about? You know, it's time for letting the new relax or something like that, but you still just trying, just like, just gone. I was trying to ride that thing out, and it just wasn't working. It was not working. My parents said, hey, Jason, you know, you got a scholarship at UTC. Fill out the application. I halfway filled that thing out. I filled that thing out, and I don't even remember what I wrote. You know, you got to write a letter to tell them why you should be let in. I probably should put, don't let me in. My parents trying to make me go. But I did it. My mom picked out my housing. I'm serious. All the stuff, they got it lined up. And next thing I know, I ain't going to Motlow. I'm going to Chattanooga. I show up like, what in the world has just happened? I remember going to class my first day, and I didn't know one soul. I didn't know one person. And the immediate thing for me was to pull back and, man, this ain't for me. I don't know nobody. Man, I'm from Shepherdville. This is my country. I'm all this stuff. And I started resorting to my norm instead of embracing the challenge that God has. You do know you do that, right? When we get comfortable, we call it the devil. And it is. It's him trying to pull you back to what you're comfortable with instead of you embracing what makes you uncomfortable, because your body is so unique that it will adjust in any climate. You ever notice when you get cold, you start to go in like this? You ever notice when you get relaxed, your body starts to do this? Because your body has a way of called something a homeostatic mechanism inside of you that has a way of regulating itself. That's why your body has a fever, because it's trying to fight off certain things. Your body is smarter than what you give it credit for. And if you ever put yourself in a situation to grow, your body will grow greater than you ever imagined. But I ended up in Chattanooga. I left all my friends. I left Wilkie, Jamie, Lincoln, all those guys. And I was like, what in the world? But God proved himself to me.
Yeah.
I found my call to ministry. I found a whole great set of friends, people that I'm friends with to this day. And I didn't leave my old friends for my new friends. I wasn't like Drake. I got old and new friends. Because my growth was not about them. It was about me.
Yeah.
How many times you penalize somebody for what God's trying to do inside of you? You cut them off because he's trying to grow you. And your growth ain't got nothing to do with them. Where was I at? Then I got to ask myself this question. What has God placed in my heart? Scripture compares what we do to fruit. Fruit is produced in season. Anybody love peaches in here? Man, if you find some good ones, bring me one. I love them. I'm for real. Like, man, they're good in this season. Man, peaches are better in the summer, I guess in the spring, than they are in the winter. You are designed to produce fruit in every season. You may be asking, God, what am I supposed to do? I got this big dream, and it's not happening right now. You know how to get to your big dream? Do the little dream that's in your heart right now.
Yeah.
Because the fruit you produce in this season will be the fruit you eat in next season. So when you get to next season, you've already produced what you need for that season. Well, man, if for some reason I feel like going to school, go to school.
Yeah.
That's the plan. Man, I feel like God wants me to read and just find a mentor. I feel like God wants me to stay right here on my job, learn everything I'm supposed to know. But I had this desire to be a CEO. Listen, what God has for you is for you. And when you get to where you're supposed to be, God's already got a prepared place for you. But where you are right now is just as prepared as where you'll ever be. Do you understand that where you are right now, God prepared it for you before you got there? And where you'll be, he's preparing it for you right now. You got to embrace what it is that God is doing. And he said, I want you to have fruit that will last. Then I got to prepare myself to produce what's in my heart. John 15:3 says, you are already prepared to produce more fruit by the teaching I've given to you. Here's what many of us miss it. Because we try to ride on talent alone. Talent alone will not get you where you need to be. There are a lot of talented, broke, homeless, miserable, depressed, just lonely people. Because your talent becomes your worst enemy. Because you rely on it and not your skill where you can systematically every time, like you good one day a week, but the other six, stay out of your way. Do I have any coaches in here? I got Omar. Do you want a player to knock it out one play or every play? You want consistency. And what you do when you learn is you learn to produce consistently. I love, I love a lot of food. I love Maggiano's. I love Ruth Chris. I love Chili's, country fried steak. I love the, what is that thing at Chewy's I eat, that quesadilla? It's got steak in it and cheese, and they put that sour cream on the top. But I don't want it to be good when I go once. You know why I go? Because it's the same every time I go. Do you know why people are going to choose you? Not because you're talented, but because you're talented every time you show up. You're the same person. You don't change. Even when you're having a good day, you remind your good day that you're still good, even though the day is not good. So I learned to equip what it is I'm called to do. And the last step is this. Discover who I am, figure out the work I'm called to do. Then I got to bond. I got to decide who and what do I connect with to produce what's in my heart. A lot of people have no idea how to really connect and bond. Bonding is where you connect to God and whatever you need to produce what's in your heart. Everything in your life is producing something. And there are some relationships that need to be nurtured. And y'all excuse the word, but there are some relationships that need to be neutered. Because they're not producing things that you want in your life. What are some principles of bonding? Mine may be a little different from what they're. Just follow me up here. Accept the fact that you can't produce alone. For every person that said, I don't need nobody. I got this all by myself. Me, myself, and I going to be own best friend. Not going to work. I don't care how many people disappointed you and broke your heart. There are still trustworthy people in this world. And you can't punish many for what one has done. And if you keep picking people that broke your heart, at a certain point, you got to stop and look. What does my choosing process look like? What is my decision-making process? Let me quit blaming people and take responsibility for my ability to make a decision. Y'all all right in here? So I can't do it alone. The next thing is this. Based on who I am, what do I have the potential to do? What do I have the potential to produce? The next thing is this. You got to cover your prerequisites. You got to know your triggers. If you got a temper problem, don't deny you got anger issues. Know what situations tick you off and you need to de-escalate. You need to just take a step back. You know, you got them people say, give me a moment. Some of them ain't lying. They ain't. You say, when you get to give me 5 seconds, you get in 10. Because you have no idea what's liable to come. How many of you know I'm telling the truth in here? Know your triggers. Know your strongholds. Know the situations to put yourself in. I don't care how long you've been saved. Old rats love cheese too. You still remember. You still know how to cuss. Still. So somebody said still. Yes. Yeah. You still know how to fight. Nuck if you buck. You know how to go at it. You know. Fellas, you are married. Ladies, you could be married, but you still know. We used to say, Mac, you still know how to be a player. You still know how to turn that. You know how to drop that voice another octave. How you doing? You know how. Ladies, you know how. You know what you're working with. You know what. You know some people work their personality. Some people, you know the thing. Know yourself.
Yes.
And if you feel that thing rising up, oh, no, not today. No, no. I remember what happened last time. I followed you last time. Y'all know how many know I'm telling the truth in here. Look at your neighbor and say, catch yourself. And you got to know your strengths. Man, there's nothing wrong with saying, I've been in interviews and a lady asked me, she said, why should we hire you? I said, because I could be one of the greatest assets to this department. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do this. She said, man, that's mighty confident. Watch this. If you don't believe in you, why do you expect somebody else to believe in you? You got to have such a determination that you can say, I do this well and I do not do this well. That's knowing your strength. One of your greatest strengths is when you know your weaknesses. Next and last thing is this, know where you're going. Then you got to find people with the same thing in their heart as you. The next thing is this, you got to know your place. You got to know your place. Nobody is better than you. Say this, nobody is better than me. But watch this, we all hold distinct positions. And you know why many of us don't connect? It's because you're trying to boss your boss. Kids trying to parent the parents. Here's how you get promoted. Do your job first. If you will do your job, it will make room for all your other ideas. Anybody got people that work for you here know I'm telling the truth?
Yes.
Yeah. You get promoted for doing your job first. And if you're just coming out, you're going to change everything from day one. Watch this. Get in the system first. Get buy-in. Take some ownership. Yeah, I'm helping you real good right here. Learn how to connect with people. Because watch this. You can say you're a leader, but if you're walking by yourself, you're nothing but a man taking a walk if nobody's following you. You are not a leader if nobody's following you. Leaders have people who can move in a direction. Y'all right in here? So you know your place, and you may not be the head one right now. You may eventually be there, but there's skills that God's trying to train you on now so that when you get where you're going, you're not paying to speed up and catch up real fast. All right? The next thing is this. You got to know when to prune and when to cut off. John 15:2 says he cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. He also trims every branch that produces fruit to prepare. You got to know what to cut off. You got to disconnect from some stuff. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not Barney Fife. But you got to nip some stuff in the bud. You can't play with dynamite and fire and expect not to be burned. There's some stuff you can, and people are constantly feeding negativity. You ever ask yourself about the question you have with your friends? Like, man, why are we always talking about somebody else's bad kids and our kids over here eating glue? Like, man, why are we always tearing down somebody else's marriage and your marriage really ain't the best as it should be? Why are you judging somebody else's salvation and you one text away from losing yours?
Well, preach. Preach.
There's some things, thank you, that you just cut off. Yeah. No, I'm serious. I'm very serious. And then you got to prune. Here's one of my greatest growing and learning points as a leader, that I don't have to disconnect because I disagree. As long as we're going in the same direction, you don't violate biblical principle. She does a whole lot of stuff different than what I do. And when we started, got married, she cooked her eggs with seasoned salt. You know, seasoned salt in eggs. Until I ate them, putting more in there. There's so much stuff that we disagree with, and because you disagree, you shut down. I'm going to let y'all figure that out. And when y'all figure it out, it ain't working, y'all going to come ask me. And I'm going to show you how. That's wrong. If you believe in the direction that we're going, and you believe that God sent you there, you speak your voice. And if your voice doesn't get heard, you keep working. And your persistence and your loyalty and your faith in God will create a voice for you wherever you go. Because what you need is for God to amplify your voice. When God amplifies it, you don't have to amplify it. When God magnifies you, you ain't got to. You can. He's your best marketing committee. You don't have to champion your own cause. God will champion it for you if you would just do things His way. And the last thing is to spend time. There's a great part of bonding that comes with spending time. Go to my last slide. There are types of bonding. I'm closing with this. One bond is called an ionic bond in chemistry. An ionic is when you share electrons. It's a give and take process. You're sharing it. Another, it means you give it. The other is covalent. Just follow me here, what I'm saying. One is where you share from one to the other. The ionic is where you give. There's a give and a take. Covalent is where you share. Relationships are covalent bonds. They're where one shares with the other. You got to know what type of relationship you're in. You know why many of us have been disappointed in relationships? Because you've had an expectation that is never designed to be met by that person. And you're expecting something from them that they don't have the capacity to give. I want Isaiah to say thank you, but we're working on him. He don't do it every time. So I don't hinge my giving off his thank you. My giving is based off him being my son. Some of you ought to see God that way. God's giving is based off you being his son, because you know there's some things you'll learn the value of later on in life, and you'll run saying thank you. It may take Isaiah 10 years to realize how good he's got it, but eventually he's going to get it. So I'm not expecting a return from him. I'm expecting a return from God. But when you are in a relationship, I want you to go home and take a look at this. And you write this down yourself. Sit down with yourself and somebody else. In relationships, you plus what is disaster? What is not good for you? What situation do you not need to be in? And what is good for you? I shut down in negative situations. I'm working on it. But when I just a bunch of gossip and mess, I shut down. What is the recipe for success for you? With objects, you plus what is disaster? I was a physical therapy major in undergraduate school, applied 3 times, did not get in. Biology and chemistry and anatomy were not my fit. I had to take most of them over again just to get an A or a B. It wasn't a good fit. I had to figure out I'm analytical. I had to figure out I ask a lot of questions. I dig deep into stuff. I was good at analytical stuff. That's why I was good as a financial analyst, a financial underwriter. I teach. I do those things like that. You find your work because you could be creating a disaster because you don't know who you are. Yes. And you're trying to force fit yourself into situations. The last one is this, fear. You plus what is disaster? Fear draws you. Fear is not about a feeling. It's about a direction. And it's pulling you in a direction. Anxiety and worry are pulling you away from the plan of God. Faith is you adding the word of God and prayer and action towards where God wants you to be. I'll close with a story. I lost a scholarship when I was in grad school. I lost one in undergrad, too. But God gave me one back in grad school. And I think God sometimes has a sense of humor. He gave me the scholarship back, and I worked at the NASA Center on campus. And I got a stipend, but I had to wear this big blue space uniform. So I'm walking around campus like a big blue Smurf with these little kids just walking beside me. I'm like, all right, I got you. But one of the things we did one day, we went to the swimming pool. And I was on the low diving board. Man, I was doing flips. I was doing dives. And one of them said, Mr. Jason, go to the high dive. And I was like, I never thought about that. I walked up the high dive, and everybody was behind me. You know how encouraging people are when you're going up the high dive? Go ahead, jump, get off the, you know how encouraging people are? I had all the people screaming at me, jump, get off the diving board. You're taking up time. And the little kid's like, Mr. Jason. And I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Fear said, Jason, don't go and make no fool of yourself. Just stay with that little low board. You're going to be okay. Faith said, come on, be a man. You can do it. If you can do the low board, you can do the high board. And I jumped. And I stayed as flat, stiff as a board. And I hit the water halfway on my back. And you know how you stay under about an extra 10 seconds just so nobody see your face. Woo, I mean, that water, we had a time. And I got up out of the water. And one of the kids said, Mr. Jason, you didn't flip and do a dive. Fear said, boy, you better not get back on there. You ain't have no skin left on your back. Faith said, if I can dive, flip, do a 1.5 off the low board, ain't nothing difference between a low board and a high board but space and opportunity. And if I can do it at this level, surely I can do it at that level. Fear was more than a feeling. It was trying to talk me out of my destiny. Man, I walked up that board and I said, you know what? Never mind. We're going to do it. Crash and burn if we will. I did a 1.5 off that board, and it felt good. I was flipping for the rest of the day. Many of you in here are staying on the low boards of life because you may have tried the high one once, and it didn't work out right. But fear is not about your feeling. Fear is about you being willing to take a chance. Step up to the plate, because if you're knocking it out here, you can knock it out there. Now, if you're not knocking it out here, don't move until you knock it out on the low level. But if you're mastering where you are, God is saying, come up to another level. You may have people behind you criticizing you, criticizing your dreams. I would do this different. I would do that different. But you can get to a point where you ignore the crowd and listen to the voice of God and said, I come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. And he's never failed me yet. Stand to your feet all over the building. Things may turn around.